Our learning this evening should be a zechut for refuah shleima for Rabbi Jonathan Sacks or of Yaakov Tzvi Ben Liba. And I'm very excited to give this year this evening. So the topic of today's...
I also mentioned my grandfather's yard site, Abram Isaac Ben Yudalev.
Abram Isaac Ben
Yudalev. I hope not to take away from Rabbi Sacks.
We can share.
What's wrong with Rabbi Sacks, by the way?
He's been diagnosed with cancer.
Okay.
So, and the topic of tonight's chabura is asking about personal requests on Shabbat, with a specific focus on making a request for shiduchim on Shabbat. So, before we get to the actual sugya itself, I want to reflect on the experience of trying to research this topic. I found it very challenging. There isn't really a specific siman or sif in the Shulchan Aruch that speaks about this topic. And so it made me have to really be very creative about trying to put together different mekorot, to look at different angles of the sugya, to try to understand what the actual sugya of making personal requests is on Shabbos. Moreover, when I was looking at more achronisha svarim, at the secondary literature, I had a hard time finding svarim that spoke about mitzvot aseh of Shabbos. A lot of the svarim on Hilchot Shabbos, they speak about the Isurei Melacha, Ramon Sfarim, the Lamatet Melachot book, all the more prestigious Hilchot Shabbos Sfarim speak about the Melachot. So even Rav Melamed, who has an entire section in Pnei Halacha on the Mitzvot Aseh of Shabbat and speaks about Tfilah on Shabbat, he doesn't speak about Bakashot, individual Bakashot on Shabbat. So I found that very challenging. That being said, there's a very clear Gemara. The Gemara in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Shabbos speaks about the prescription of saying personal bakashot on Shabbos. So source number one, the Yerushalmi says, Tani, aser litboa tzarkav b'Shabbat. It's aser to make requests for one's needs on Shabbat. So the Gemara continues, Rabbi Zeira sha'al Rabbi Chaya bar Abba, mahu meimar ro'enu parnesenu. So a question emerges, what about in Birkat HaMazon, at the end of Birkat HaMazon, when we speak about God as our shepherd, as our roeh, and God who's mifarnes us, who supports us in our physical health and well-being. So how can we say that on Shabbos if it's us?
I think it's actually a tzivui. Re'enu, not ro'enu, but re'enu. Shepherd us.
Re'enu, yes. Exactly. To shepherd us, exactly. And so seemingly that goes against the Yerushalmi, which says that you can't make personal requests on Shabbos. How can we ask God to shepherd us and to produce for us and to take care of us? So Amar Lai, so the response is Tofos Brachot Kachin. The existing girsa, the matbea of the Brachot on Shabbos, we're not going to change it. The different Mefarshei Yerushalmi explain that it would be too confusing for a person to have to change the girsa of Birkat HaMazon on Shabbos just for that occurrence that happens once every 7 days. And so therefore, we're allowed to keep the matbea. So the question is, what is the nature of this Isser? Where does this Isser stem from? So the Korban Ha'edah, one of the two prominent Mefarshei Yerushalmi, the Korban Ha'edah in addition to the Pnei Moshe, he explains as follows. He says, "Asur litzboa torkav b'Shabbat." Source number two, "Lefi shemichlal oneg Shabbatu," because it's part. It's under the general framework of oneg Shabbos. "Shechshova adam ki ilu kol melachtov asui." A person should think that all of his malachot have been done and have been performed. "V'ashol torkav humar e behefach." That a person who asks for his request for his physical well-being is showing the opposite. In other words, if you're making a request on your well-being, you're demonstrating that you're lacking. You have some sort of chisaron on Shabbos. Shabbos is meant to be a me'ein olam haba. It's supposed to be a day where all of our needs are taken care of. We have everything ready. And so therefore, we're not supposed to make requests about melachot on Shabbat. So that's the first rationale provided by the Korban Ha'edah. The second one is v'gam mevi da'agav libo. It also leads to some sort of despair, despondency, depression, on Shabbos, which is also prohibited. I would assume that this is a negative manifestation of Oneg Shabbos. It's kind of like the Lotase. Right. So that's the second rationale. So really now that we have an Isser, we understand where it comes from, and we understand two of the rationales. We want to explore what the formal geder of tzviot tzorkav is. What does it really mean to make these requests on Shabbos? So we want to look at and explore several approaches from the Rishonim. So we start with source three in the Shuta Rivash. And the Rivash writes, Klomar, Vekevan Shutar Klomar Brachazu, is talking about Birkat HaMazon, since we have to say Birkat HaMazon. Ein Lishnot Matbea Bibracha, Mimashu Omer Bechol, he shouldn't change the Nosach HaBracha from that which he says during Chol. She'ein Asur Sheilat Atorkim El Lahosif Al Matbea Bracha. He says first and foremost that the Isser of making requests for one's needs on Shabbos is to add in addition to the standard Matbea Bracha. That's number one. Number two, kishashoa la'atzmo shelo b'toch bracha hatzrichala, or to make an independent request for something that's not included in the bracha. So now we have from the Rivash two different possibilities of what the geder is. Either it's in adding to the standard matbea, or it's adding something that doesn't exist in our pre-existing framework. That's the Rivash. I turn your attention now to the Alei Tamar, who cites the Ramban in source number four. The Alei Tamar wrote a parish in the Yerushalmi. From a historical context, the Alei Tamar lived after Rav Kook. Actually found out from one of the pieces I read on the Yerushalmi that the Alei Tamar quoted Rav Kook's Siddur, the Olat Riyah, which I thought was really cool. So the Alei Tamar quotes the Ramban in his parish on Shabbos and the Gemara on Kuf Yud Gimel. And he says, Tofes brachot kachu ve'ein tarech lishno b'shabbat. Aval lish'ol tzorkav me'atzmo osur. The Ramban says you don't have to change the matbea brachot, but to ask for one's needs independently is aser. Klomar, in other words, shelo aser ela tefila v'tchinat yachid, aval tofes tefila klalit eino bichlal zeh. It seems the Ramban has a little bit of a subtlety and a difference than the Rivash. He says that the individual tchina in request is different than the tefila klalit, the general prayer. And so I think the more conservative way of reading this is just like the Rivash, that you can only say Re'enu and Parnaseinu because that's part of the bracha. I think alternatively, you might be able to say that a tefillah that's for the klalit, for the tzibur, that might be something that could have a greater leniency for Shabbat. But I think that's a more mechudash reading of the Ramban or of the Alei Tamar, and I don't necessarily think that that's really what he's saying, but I think it's a possibility.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Isaac has a question.
Can you also say, like, when the Rivash says Shoal La'atzmo, he also maybe means the same thing? It also makes the same deal for the Rivash, maybe.
What do you mean?
He says, because Shoal La'atzmo.
Hevanti. Habrach, bitoch bracha tzricha lo, for him. Atmo and lo.
He would agree that you could daven for Mashiach.
That's a great point.
No, my point was clarified.
Isaac had a very similar point. He was going to make another diuk.
I was not, but my
just point kidding. Was but Isaac's point was clarified. Okay, so we'll go weiter. So we go back to the Rivash. In the Rivash that we saw in source number three, it's a tshuva that's addressing the question of saying Avinu Malkinu on Shabbos, both on Shabbos Shuva and also on Yom Kippur itself. So the Rivash begins the tshuva by speaking of the multiple minhagim that exist about saying Avinu Malkinu while not saying Avinu Malkinu. And in the selection that I brought here in source number five, he talks about Burgundy, the minhag in Burgundy. In Burgundy, Nagu Gam Kain Shalala Omru Behem Min Hatam Hazeh Zulti B'Yom HaKippurim Shechaliot B'Shabbat. In Burgundy, they only said Avinu Malkinu on Shabbat, for the reason that we mentioned, namely that you're not supposed to ask personal requests or communal requests on Shabbat. Mipnei shehu gamar din. So the reason why Yom Kippur on Shabbos is an exception is because it's Yom Hadin, and that's when Hashem is sealing our fate. And so the Rivash says, v'im lo achshav imatai, if we're not going to make a request for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to change our fate, what other time do we have? And he says rather strongly, it's as if we are transformed into nirdfim, people who are being pursued by a murderer on Shabbat, and there's a sakana right in front of us, and therefore to say Avinu Malkinu on Shabbos on Yom Kippur, it's allowed because it's like mamish sakanas nefashos. And he says, "Aval im ein bo sakana liyomo lo." But if there isn't a present danger in front of you, you wouldn't be able to say Avinu Malkinu on Shabbos. And I know in the footnote here that the Ramah paskins this way halach l'maisa, that we don't say Avinu Malkinu on Shabbos based off of the Ribash. So I want to conclude this section by taking a little bit of a different angle. Now we've looked at whether Bakashat Tzarkav is a function of adding to the existing liturgy, meaning extending it, supplementing it, or adding something completely different and independent. But the Magen Avraham addresses a different dimension, namely a spiritual dimension. Are spiritual requests part of Bakashat Tzarkav B'Shabbat? So the Magen Avraham is commenting on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch allows, says in certain circumstances, people are allowed to have a Tanit on Shabbat. One of those circumstances is a Tanit Chalom. So the Shulchan Aruch writes about what you do in terms of saying Aneinu on Shabbat when you're fasting. So the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch says, you say Aneinu at the end of Shemona Esrei, once you've completed Shemona Esrei, you don't say the Chatima. The implication being, because we don't say Bakashot on Shabbat. So in this context, or in that background, now we see the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes, source number 5a, Umutar lomar b'Shabbat alokai ad shelo notzarti. This is the tefillah that we say, if we remember from Yom Kippur not so long ago, the tefillah that's right before the Ashamnu is at the end of Shemona Esrei, that we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, our existence is not worthy, and we preface our tshuva and our vidui and our charata. And so the Magen Avraham says, if you want to insert this phrase when you're davening on for a tanit on Shabbat, that's allowed. De'eno aser sheilat zorkav ela kishem avakesh al choli o parnasa v'domelo. The only prohibition and prescription of sheilat zorkav on Shabbat is when you're making a request about somebody who is ill or making a request about parnasa and those things that are similar to that. Sheyesh tsar lefanav. That there's some sort of immediate human distress that's there. Aval charatat avonot. But if you have charata for doing averot, tov lomar b'chol yom. It's good. You should say that every single day, even if it's Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham demonstrates and says that spiritual requests, specifically charatat avonot, of doing vidui, of doing tshuva, so that's allowed on Shabbos. What I think is interesting to note, they.
Where do you see in the Lashon Magen Avraham the differences between spiritual and physical?
I'm using spiritual in a more amorphous, fluid sense. I think the fact that he's saying choli and parnasa and juxtaposing that with charat avunot, I think that makes a suggestion.
He gives a reason for choli and parnasa. Choli and parnasa v'domelo sheyesh tsar lefanav. What's special about those is that tsar lefanav.
You're saying you think the Magen Avraham is emphasizing the immediacy of the lacking on Shabbos.
Right.
It's a great hour.
This seems to me I mean, I'm not saying you can say you, but I don't see from these words.
That's great.
That stress.
That okay.
Maybe tsar is physical tsar though. Choli and parnasa are like you physically feel the lack of sustenance, but if it's spiritual, you don't feel tsar as much.
I think I'm also biased with a source later on that, yes,
right.
That paraphrases the
favors.
Yes, he says it befeir. So I jumped the gun a little bit, but
I could be shot over here. I'm not throwing out what you and the Binyan are saying, but. If you have a proof, it would be stronger indication.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Very good.
Thank you very much. So I want to put on hold before exploring perhaps other dimensions of this Hagidara of Bakashot that are Usar on Shabbat. I want to turn our attention to communal emergencies on Tefillah on Shabbat, because I think if we look at the extreme sides of the dispensation of the Heter to ask for Bakashot on Shabbat, that should be able to help inform us about the individual Bakashot on Shabbat. Or to put it differently, if we're limited by what we're allowed to do, even in communal emergencies, so-called v'chomer, the same thing seemingly would hold up in individual emergencies. So we start in source number 6 with the Mishnah and Tanit, provided both the citation of the Mishnah itself and the Gemara. The Mishnah says, "Al elu matriin b'Shabbat." On the following communal catastrophes, we sound the shofar and the chatzotzot on Shabbat. The Mishnah says, "Al ir shikfua gayes o nahar," a city that's surrounded either by soldiers or some sort of siege, soldiers laid siege upon the city, or there is some sort of immediate flooding, rivers as surrounding the city, and so there's some sort of danger to the city itself. V'yalsfina hamiturefet bayam. Additionally, a ship that's drowning in the sea. That's the shita of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Amar le'ezra. For Ezra, for help, you're allowed to sound the shofar, the chatzotzot, whatever it is, avalola tzaka, but not for tzaka. Most Rishonim understand tzaka to mean bakashot on Shabbat. The exception I have in the footnote, Rashi cites the Misora of Moreau, his teacher, who says perhaps it's that we don't know if the tefillah will be the tefillah will be guaranteed to be answered on Shabbat. But that's really a shitat yachid. With understanding the Mishnah. But it seems to be pretty clear that Rabbi Yossi says the only dispensation on Shabbat is you're allowed to sound the shofar or chatzotzrot to gather the community together to help alleviate and mitigate the emergency. But you're not allowed to make communal requests on Shabbat. The Tanakhama, by contrast, says in communal emergencies, you're allowed to make requests on Shabbat. So we see the Shulchan Aruch and also the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch pasken like the Tanakama. Ein sokin v'lo mitzrayin bo al shum tzara chutz v'tzara to mizonot. This is source number 7, the Shulchan Aruch, that we're only tzoek in mitzrayin for famines. Shetzoek in alav b'peh b'shabbat v'lo b'shofar. We only do it by way of mouth and not actually with the shofar itself. And then he says, v'chein ir shikfua akum onar v'sfina mitzrefet b'yam, all the aforementioned cases that we gave. And then he adds something else. I'm not exactly sure where he gets this from, but he says, v'yafilu al yachid hanirdaf v'pnei akum o listim o ruach ra'a zo'akinu mitchananin b'tzfilot b'shabbat. Even an individual who's being pursued by a non-Jew, seemingly this is a mortal pursual, or he's being pursued by robbers or rachra, whatever that means. So he's allowed to make supplications on Shabbat. Aval ein token elim kim token the kabeta am lazor achehem v'halahatzilam. Not to get too involved in the end of the Shulchan Aruch, but he seems to synthesize kind of Rabbi Yossi's limitation by saying that we're only mitzra'in to gather people together, but not actually for the more spiritual endeavor of calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a communal level. But he allows blowing the shofar in order to gather the individuals together. So now going from the communal and focusing and narrowing into the individual, the Magen Avraham in Siman Resh Pei Chet, in the same Siman that he commented on previously, he says that we would also have a similar dispensation for an individual, and he writes in source 8, Kishiyesh Me'ora, if there's some sort of encounter that a person has, some sort of dangerous encounter, if Tzarech Adam Levakesh Rachamim, V'yipola Panav Biachid, and a person needs to request Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fall on his face as an individual, so Dahafilu Tanit Shari, even doing a Tanit would be Mutar on Shabbos. So Kal V'chomer, making individual requests would be mutter on Shabbos. And so what arises from the Mishnah and Tanit, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avraham, is that for individual and communal emergencies, we allow individuals to daven and make bakashot on Shabbat. So we see a certain precedent for dispensation for making bakashot on Shabbat. Ad Kan, part 2 of this year, kind of expanding our understanding of bakashot on Shabbat.
That's only when it's like a sakana.
That's only a sakana, exactly. Right. These are both just examples of the extremities of bakashot on Shabbat. And it's clear that both as an individual and as a community, we are allowed to make bakashot on Shabbat in cases of emergencies. So now I want to focus on the topic of shiduchim on Shabbat, which is actually something that is discussed in the Gemara and Shabbos. So in source number 9, the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Yud Bet says, V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar umer mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, Ein mishadin et ha-tinokot la'aris. We do not set up shiduchim for tinokot on Shabbat. V'lo et ha-tinok limdo sefer lamdo umanut. V'ein menachim mavelin. V'ein mevakrin cholim b'Shabbat. Zivrei Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says, we don't facilitate shiduchim on Shabbat. We don't set children up for their educational trajectory to be enrolled in school on Shabbat. We don't set them up for apprenticeships, for professions on Shabbat. We don't do Nicha Mevelim on Shabbat. We don't do Bikur Cholim on Shabbat. According to Beit Shammai, who Beit Hillel Matir, but Beit Hillel is Matir. So what we see here is there's two different positions. One it says that it's usher to create Shiduchim on Shabbat. One says it's mutter. So what's the rationale behind each? So we turn to Rashi in source 10, who explains both rationales. Rashi ain mishadchen, he says b'Shabbat mishum mimtzo chafzecha, because of the pasuk in Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah says to the Jewish people, im tashiv mishabbat raglecha asot chafatzecha b'yom kochi v'karat al Shabbat one lekadosh Hashem mechubad v'chibadeto me'asot derechecha mimtzo chafzecha v'daber davar. He says, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your affairs on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath delight, the Lord's holy day honored, and if you honor it and go not your ways, nor look to your affairs, nor strike bargains, asita naga l'Hashem. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring enjoyment to you, which the Mefarshim explained that if you keep Shabbat properly, so a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to reward you by supporting you in your physical existence. So that's the pasuk in Yeshayahu, and that's where Rashi is saying that the iser of setting up shiduchem comes from is mitzoh chavtzecha, which is a drash on the Gemara that we'll see momentarily, that you're not supposed to do things that you do during the week on Shabbat. That's shitat Beit Shammai. Ubeitel matir in the following dibra matchil tekasavrei chavtzecha chavtzecha velo chavtzei shamayim. Beit Hillel understands no. You're right that cheftzecha, things that you do during Chol, you shouldn't do on Shabbos. But things that are cheftzei shamayim, things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, no, that you can do on Shabbos. So of course, lo tov hayor adam levado, it's clearly a supreme value in Yiddishkeit, that people should be married, that we should have shiduchim. And so Beit Hillel understands, really, it's mutter to set up shiduchim on Shabbat. And if Rashi isn't enough, really the drasha comes from the Gemara and Shabbos on Daf Kuvnuman of Aleph. Fascinating, we have a ton of Devei Menashe. Don't see that so many times in Shas, or at least I'm not so familiar. Who says, B'shachna ala tinoko la'aris b'Shabbat. We allow tinoko to facilitate shiduchim on Shabbat. We allow tinok lamdo sefer, lamdo amanut. And we also, set kids up to have an education or to have an apprenticeship. The Gemara says, but the Gemara asks this kind of bitmea. What do you mean? How can you do that? Amar Kra, the pasuk says, mimtzo chafzecha v'daber davar. Chafatzecha asurim, things that are usur, meaning things that you do during chol, you can't do. But chafzei shamayim mutarim, but these three things, finding a shidduch, making sure that your child learns Torah, making sure that your child, has an omanut, a profession that's going to allow him, the Gemara in Kedushin says it's kilu listu for a child to not have a profession, not know how to do a job. So these are all chafzei shamayim, and they're all mutter. I want to bring another interesting raya for why this would be mutter, which is the Zemer Mayedidut, which is authored by Menachem Ibn Saruk. Ben Arish mentioned at the beginning of our Masechet Psachim that the Rishonim took piyutim very, very seriously. So much so that they're even willing to cite piyutim as rayot for their halachic shita. So I wanted to bring the Zemer, my didut as a raya. The Zemer says, Chavatzecha asurim megam nechashov cheshbenot, hihurim mutarim ulashadei chabanot. Right? So it seems that even the Zemer itself is a good raya, that it's mutter. And we turn to the Shulchan Aruch in source 13, in Shimbad Vav, who says, Chefzei shamayim mutter ledaber behem, kigon cheshbonot shal mitzvah, v'lipsok tzedakah, v'bikeach al iskei rabim, v'lishadach hatinok liyoros. It's mutter to speak about shiduchim on Shabbat. So we see that there really is a precedent to allow shiduchim and facilitating shiduchim on Shabbat. And that precedent is cited both in the Rambam and in the Shulchan Aruch. Oh man, I saw you unmuted. I wasn't sure if you wanted to share something.
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, so this is the shiduchim bit on Shabbat. So it seems that there might be an important role that shiduchim play on Shabbat. I titled this part of the shir, part three, shiduchim on Shabbat, the Koed Shabbaton phenomenon. Rav Schechter once mentioned there's a Q&A about the Koed Shabbaton that happened at YU last year. And someone asked Rav Schechter about it, and Rav Schechter is like, well, it's kind of funny. I kind of met my wife on a Koed Shabbaton. So it's sometimes we see our Gedolim they found their wives on Koed Shabbatonim. So they're not so bad, at least according to Rav Schechter. Okay. So now that we've explored... What did you say, Rav Ben?
I didn't find that on a Shabbaton.
It's okay. Okay, so now I want to return back to the Hagdara. We've seen, we've seen the basic, locus classicus, Gemara Yerushalmi, the Isser of being Mevakesh Tzarkat B'Shabbat. We saw many of the contours of that Isser, whether it's adding to the existing Matbea, adding something that was not found previously itself. Maybe it's something that's for the individual, but not for the klal. We saw an exception when it comes to Charat Atavonot. But now, let's look at other dimensions. And this will bring us to the postgame. So, about 3 o'clock today, I was leaving the Beit Midrash. I just spoke to Binyamin and said to him,
I just want to try to clarify. At the end of three, is that background or you have an answer based on that?
No, that's just background.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cider.
So I mentioned Binyamin that I didn't really have any mekorot that were beyond the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch, and I couldn't really find any poskim. So I was kind of despairing about this. I felt like there had to be some contemporary poskim that dealt with this question, or at least that dealt with the question about Kashrut on Shabbos. So I looked at the Sefer Piskei Tshuvot. I'm not exactly sure who the author is, but it's kind of the Piskei Tshuva and the Shulchan Aruch, but on following the Seder of the Mishnah Berurah. And I looked at it and I found some gold. So part four, what did you say, Benjamin?
He's Hasidish, that's the best part.
That would explain the Balatanya. That's really geschmack. So we have a little Neil Hasidus in this Chabura as well. So we have three different, psakim from contemporary halacha about the question of Bakashon on Shabbos. The first is Rav Sternbach in the Tshuva van Hagot, who's discussing the widespread phenomenon of people saying Mishaberach v'cholim on Shabbos. Now, we saw the Gemara on Shabbos on Daf Yud Bet, source number 9. I said at the Brayta that follows this Gemara, which is very obvious. It says, "Anichnas tabakir atachole omer shavatim letzok ufuak provel lavo." If you go to be mevakir cholim on Shabbos, you don't actually make a bakasha that a chole should get better, but rather you say it's Shabbos. I wish I could daven. I wish I could make a bakasha for you, but the refuah is coming soon. Don't worry. Hashem is lo yanum v'lo yishan. He's waiting to heal you. And so also as a background, the mitzvah of bikur cholim, we often think it's about perking up the chola, which it definitely is an important part of it. But Chazal really viewed the essence of bikur cholim being about davening in the presence of a chola, which both has the ability to uplift the spirit of a chola, but also is supposed to awaken rachmei shemayim. So it's pretty clear from this braita that we have this funky girsa, which demonstrates you're not supposed to make bakashot for refuah shleima on Shabbos. So Rav Sternbach quotes this braita and other sources as well and says it's pretty obvious you can't make bakashot for a refuah shleima on Shabbos. So he says, and that's the background, source number 14, Amnam haminhag b'chol beit Yisrael hu levarach b'shabbos al chola v'lomer mishaberach hu yivarach v'rapeat hachola. The minhag for all of, basically all, came out all of the Jewish people is to say mishaberach b'cholam on Shabbos. So it says, mashma de pshita shzeh mutter. Seems it's actually, it might be mutter. V'yish liyashev haminhag. Let's explain this minhag. Dishorish ha'isar hu rach b'fanav shim'oruru l'bechi v'tzar. He says that the shoresh of the Isser, the foundation of the Isser, is that by daving and being mevakesh rachamim for the chola in front of him, is going to bring him sadness. He or she is going to think about the predicament that they're in. They're going to think about their illness, especially if somebody has a more serious illness. They're going to think about their situation, and that's going to make them sad. They're going to recognize that, you know, that the existential mentality of that I'm sick, whether that's they have cancer or they have something else.
Is he talking about himself being sick, or is he talking about others?
He's talking about others. He's talking about the chole that we're davening for.
Okay, so what's his distinction?
So his distinction is that he says of all kol shelo b'fanav pshita demutter. If you're davening for cholim, not within the presence of cholim, so that's mutter because that's not going to shape their mood. Isaac had a question.
No, yeah, I mean, I think the point is the same. I just think shema orer lebechi b'tzar. I think it's that the point of me davening before the chola is it's going to be ma'orer me to bechi and tzar and daven harder. That's why there's an extra mila for me davening for the chola.
Oh, hey, manti.
It's making me have more tzar and less wanting Shabbos and me being really sad. If I'm not with the chola, so I'm not going to feel as sad when I'm davening for the chola.
Okay.
I think the point is still the same, but I think that's what he means.
Okay. Thank you to Isaac for making a really great read in Rav Sternbach. And
can you amplify from the physical perspective?
What do you mean?
I didn't hear.
I'll repeat it. That Isaac said Shema Oru Lubechi Litzar is that the empathy that the mitpalel experiences when they're in the presence of the chola, that's going to bring the mitpalel to bechi and tzar, and that's going to make them have a more inspirational davening and have more eslavos, and that's going to, you know, that's going to make it so that their tefillah is heard. I was saying that
it's more kal or more chamor to do it in front of them, or
it's more chamor to do it in front of the individual, but that's because it's going to make the mitpalel who's davening on their behalf sad on Shabbos.
Right.
So I said that I thought it was because it was going to make the chole, you know, sad on Shabbos. But Isaac was explaining, no, it's not that the chole, but it's the mitpala. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a great read. Thank you so much, Isaac.
So then maybe davening for a shidduch at a kohen shabbaton will be an issue.
It's a good shaila. It's Takaveri, yeah.
You don't need a davening, you're at the Kohen Shabbaton.
Yeah, Isaac said, you already did your Ishtadlis, why are you davening?
It depends how low the mechitza is.
Fievel said, it depends how low the mechitza is. That's a good question. If you see that, okay, so if it's a mechitza, okay, I'm not going to mention places in the mechitza. Okay.
If the person does a mishaberech has a nice voice, and maybe it'll help him with the shiduchim, they'll be impressed.
That's my mahalach. My mahalach is you're shliach tzibor on the Shabbatonim. That's what you do. Okay, so that's Rav Sternbach. Rav Sternbach is matir because really the issue is da'agat lev as we saw in the Korban Ha'idah at the very beginning of the Chabura. So now let's shift to the Baal HaTanya, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi. This is the neo Chassidism of the Shir, and the Baal HaTanya in his Shulchan Aruch, he's commenting on the very same din that the Magen Avraham commented on previously. That if a person is fasting on Shabbos because of it's a tanit chalom, so they say anenu at the end of tefillah, they don't do the chatima, etc. So skip to the third line that he can say chatati aviti pashati. He can say all the, you know, the words of vidoy, and then he says velo asru lomar tachanunim mishabbat ela levakish behem al tzorkav. That when Chazal said it was usher for a person to have supplications on Shabbos, it was only to be mevakesh for one's needs. Kagona parnasa, refua, chole, sheish lo bebeito, you know, for one's immediate, you know, physical needs, and for people who are sick in their household, v'chiyotzebehem mitzorchei aguf. And similar things that are physical needs of the individual. Aval charata tavonot tov lomar b'chol yom. But as we saw in the Magen Avraham, if you want to have charata for your avonot, so that you can say even on Shabbos. So the Piskei Tshuvot want to be medayik from mitzorchei aguf. That means that's in contrast to mitzorchei, you know, haneshama. That spiritual needs would be mutter on Shabbos. I wrote on the footnote, I didn't necessarily find that compelling in and of itself. I think it's an interesting diuk to make, and I think maybe it's a good additional sniff lahakel. So I think that's the... No, it's just like the Magen Avraham said. It's just it's okay to have charata on Shabbos. It's good for it's
almost the same. It's almost the same words as Magen Avraham. He just said it's a tzorchei aguf.
Exactly. It's came out the same as Magen Avraham.
Well, according to the Baal Tanya, even the guf is also a nefesh Bahamas. So I'm saying that's the contrast. Maybe it's only talking about neshamas here. So
I'm chozer now.
Bahamas must mean the nefesh Kis.
I'm very much chozer, and I agree with the Nyaman. Favel is the litvak in our apartment, so he's looking at us like we're crazy. Okay, we'll look at the last source, Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halichot Shlomo. So I've actually never seen this before today. I've never seen the Halichot Shlomo Hilchot Tzvila. It's not like his tshuvot. It's like a kitzur sefer. I was actually...
It's put together by Talmidim, or grandchildren.
Right, so I was confused about the authorship. And I found someone wrote a whole essay on the Svarim blog about the authorship. But anyway, so he writes, he has an Ot Yud Aleph, he has the heading Bakashat Tzorchim Ruchaniim, the request of spiritual needs on Shabbat, and he writes, Motor L'chadchila L'omar B'Shabbat Tefila Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana Shekodem HaLimud. He says it's Motor Ab Initio to say the Tefila Rabbi Nechunya Ben Akana before learning Torah, the beautiful Gemara and Brachot, the tefillah, or the Mishnah of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana about the purity of limud for one's individual, for making sure that they come to the right conclusion so that they have the proper ben adam l'chaveiro, that they learn for the right motivations and intentions. So that's motzor l'chatchila on Shabbos. Ki bakasha al inyanim ruchaniim eino bichlal bakashat tzorchim ha'asura b'shabbat. Here, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, beferish, because bakashot for spiritual needs on Shabbat are not part of the Hagdara of Bakashat Tzorchim that are Asur on Shabbat. And so I think here Rav Shlomo Zalman is the most befeirish about making personal requests on Shabbat. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman. So now we've seen three different contemporary poskim who have shown, who have given different dispensations for spiritual needs on Shabbat, or two for spiritual needs on Shabbat, and one who, is not so concerned about the one dimension of the Oneg Shabbat of not having everything on Shabbat. So my psak here, based off of seeing the achronim, seeing the emphasis that Chazal have for finding shiduchim even on Shabbat, that I think that it would be mutter for a person to make bakashot for a shiduch on Shabbat. But I wouldn't give a blanket heter. I think there are certain conditions. I think that if somebody is marriageable age and they're a person who's genuinely looking for a shidduch and is looking for the right reasons, so that seems to be the right reason. If the reason why somebody wants a shidduch is because they live in Washington Heights and they're sick and tired of preparing Shabbos meals for themselves, and they want somebody to cook for them and clean for them and to do their laundry, I don't think that's a legitimate enough reason. I think if you're really looking for a shidduch, you realize that your realization and actualization of your Avodat Hashem cannot be full without having, your partner in your life. Lo tohe adam levado. I think that's what we're talking about. So I would say that if somebody is marriageable age, that's probably the right, I would give that heter to them. I think if I was a NCSY rabbi and a 15-year-old kid asked me, can I daven for a girlfriend on Shabbos? I would say, based off this mahalach, no. It's not a legitimate reason to...
It goes by the person you're davening for or the person who's davening?
I think that it's that both the person who's davening, him or herself, and the person who... I think it can be both the individual who's looking for the shidduch for his or herself, or for the person who's davening on their behalf. I don't think there's a chiluk between the person who you're... I don't think there's a chiluk.
If it's somebody older and it will cause pain.
So I think there are two other conditions, or I would say, I think there's another... So if I want to say something, let me just clarify this. I think that if the question is, Rabbi, can I daven for my friend to find a shidduch on Shabbos? So I would say that based off of the conditions that I said, that it's a person of a marriageable age and they're looking for a shidduch, that it's fine to daven for them to find a shidduch. I think as an individual who's davening for their own, to find a shidduch for themselves, I'd also say that's mutter on Shabbos. So one other thing I thought was interesting is an interesting halacha that Lo Aleinu, Rachmana Litzlan, you have a couple who the wife passes away, and you have a husband who has, like, let's say, three or four little children, and he has to take care of them. So the halacha is that the husband has to wait 3 months to remarry, because that's the standard halacha of after a death, you have to wait 3 months to remarry. But there's a special dispensation that's given for a husband who has little children that need to be taken care of. I feel like I heard from maybe this is Rav Vosner, I'm not sure, maybe Rav Ovadia. I remember Rav Simon mentioning this in Hilchos Avelos here. So there's a special dispensation given if you have children that need to be taken care of. We waive this requirement. So I would think if this is the individual in discussion, who literally it's the tzorche beito that he's looking for a shidduch. He's looking for a shidduch because he wants somebody to help him with his house because it's out of control. So I would think such a person maybe more in the theoretical, not so practical. Maybe you shouldn't daven for that person on Shabbos. I would say it's probably that person. They're also looking for a partner. They're also looking for somebody to help them, actualize and realize their avodat Hashem. So I'd say even in that circumstance too.
Even though the need is bigger, you would say it's also because there they have in mind.
No, I think halach lemaisa. If somebody asked me the shaila, I think it would be mutter. I think it would be enough that the person also has the motivation that they. It's not just physical, but it's also spiritual.
What about a second marriage where it won't be mechanic pruruvu?
Fava wants to know if it makes a difference if it's a second marriage and you're not going to be mechanic pruruvu. So I would just say, but we still have the mitzvah of altinach yadecha.
Of what?
Altinach yadecha, that you should have children even in your even when you're older.
If they can't have children,
if you can't have children, it's recommended in nisuin kilchata that you should still get married if you can. Ein Sham, the contemporary halacha shiurim. The one other thing that I saw the Eshel Avram wrote is that if the person davening is going to be mitzta'er on Shabbos, they're going to become depressed, similar to what we saw in the Rav Sternbach. They also can make those even spiritual requests on Shabbos. And I just wanted to end the shiurim part five, just saying, okay, students ask me on a college campus, they want to daven for their friends, they have a shidduch. This is practical. Lemaisa, when should I add this into my tefillah in Shmona Esrei? So the answer is part five. The Shulchan Aruch from the Ramah, the Reino Rechaim, and Simon Kuf Chaf Bet, that you should say it after the first Yehila Ratzon Imri Fila Hagun Lifanecha, after you've finished Shmona Esrei, and either before Elokai Nitzor, or after Elokai Nitzor, before the second Yehila Ratzon Imri Fila Hagun Lifanecha, and that's where they should put it in. So there we go. That is my chabura. Thank you so much.